You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
2 billion rand. That is a figure that has captured South Africa's attention this week as the special investigating unit known as the SIU more widely revealed its investigation into corruption at Tembisa Hospital in Ekurhuleni has uncovered three coordinated syndicates responsible for the looting of over 2 billion rand meant for healthcare. Jeff Wicks is an investigative journalist with Media 24. He has done extensive work on this and has also written a book more so about the killing of Babita Diokaran, you remember the whistleblower. Jeff, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. So the SIU says it's currently probing allegations to Tembisa Hospital and has to date identified three major syndicates that have misappropriated that amount meant for healthcare at Tembisa. It further goes on to say an analysis of 2,207 procurement bundles has revealed serious maladministration and procurement fraud. Is this confirmation of the information that you have already put out there for those who have not read the book?
Hi, Dudu. Yes, absolutely. This is complete vindication, not only for the book, but for the work that we've done over several years at News 24 into the malfeasance at Tembisa Hospital. I think the way to frame this in the listener's mind is that Babita Diokaran was essentially the genesis of this report. She is the one who started it all because she was the first to see the first shades of this extraction network operating at Tembisa Hospital. And now this report, which was released earlier this week, gives us a real sense of the depth of it and how not only three main syndicates were able to launch an incursion into the hospital, but nine syndicates in total were able to take root there. And I mean, that's a damning indictment on the probity of the Gauteng Department of Health. But Babita had seen the signs 4 years ago, and now we finally have confirmation that she was bang on the money.
Let's look at these three syndicates for now. The Maumela Syndicate, please detail that for our listeners.
So the Maumela Syndicate is quite an interesting one. It's obviously headed by Hangwani Morgan Maumela, who's nephew to President Cyril Ramaphosa from a previous marriage. And that syndicate, we had placed 21 separate entities in his orbit during our investigation. The SIU obviously was able to go further with their powers of intrusion and place that figure at about 41 different companies. So that's what we've been looking at in terms of the Maumela Syndicate. And obviously a lot of money was steered towards purchasing assets. And, in total, that network of companies was responsible for pulling out more than 820 million rand from that hospital.
And we take a look at what the SIU says here. It says the asset forfeiture unit identified assets linked to Maumela, which has resulted in the NPA's asset forfeiture unit preserving some of these assets, including properties listed in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 provinces, motor vehicles that are listed here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 vehicles. So this preservation, what does that mean? How should we understand this?
Well, I think we should understand it in two ways. Firstly, I think it's a significant milestone in the criminal investigation because an asset freeze is obviously a usual signifier that something more serious is headed Mr. Maumela's way. But what should also give us pause is the fact, just the crude arithmetic of it. So he's responsible for pulling out 820 million rand from the hospital, and they've preserved assets worth 320 million rand. So there's a 500 million rand discrepancy, nearly half a billion rand in terms of what the NPA has been able to find and then freeze. So there's a lot of money still missing. And I think that's a significant issue when you compare the two parallel investigations, that of the SIU and then the NPA.
Let's take a look at the Mazibuko Syndicate. Please help our listeners make sense of that.
Of course. So Rudolf Mazibuko essentially headed what was a medical supply dynasty, which saw its heyday from Tembisa Hospital. There were 17 entities that we identified in that syndicate, which were all controlled by his family members. One company was even controlled by his brother, and it's located in Christiana, far away in the Mpumalanga province. So, you know, that was a red flag for a proxy directorship, but they're responsible for again, several hundred million rands extracted from the hospital. They are also responsible, or that syndicate rather, is also responsible for some pretty significant price inflation that we were able to find. And one good example is a heavy-duty plastic bucket. And they, one of the companies in that network, sold four of these buckets to Tembisa Hospital for about 40,000 rand, when in fact those buckets are really only valued in extreme cases at more than 200 rand each. So that gives you a visceral, real-world example of how these prices were contrived and inflated to be able to pull the maximum amount of funds out.
Sure. And then there's Syndicate X. Why is it called Syndicate X and it doesn't have a particular or particulars of the individuals involved?
So as we understand from the press briefing, there seems to be some reluctance on the part of the SIU to name Syndicate X. During our investigation, the three syndicates we identified, the only one we haven't spoken about is one that was run by Stefan Joel Govind Raju. And his syndicate was immense in the sense that, you know, even in our investigation, we were able to tie 60 separate shell companies to him. And he was really a fantastic puppeteer at the top of this racketeer enterprise that is responsible for more than 600 rands of extraction. So, I mean, I keep flippantly throwing out these figures worth several hundred million rand, but the true depth of this thing, I believe, we've not yet seen. This is only an interim report from the SIU, and if my suspicions are correct, then we'll see the number in terms of cash extraction still rise.
Because then the question probably in a listener's mind is what happens now, right? Do we take a look at the procurement system in the country in terms of public procurement? Do we take a look at, you know, what now? Because you also touched on the fact that this is good news in terms of the NPA doing its prosecutorial work, but we know that the NPA is also crippled, et cetera, et cetera. Then what?
I think there's a couple of pretty obvious, you know, paths forward for us. Not that there'll be the political will to pursue them, but I think one and probably the most important one is modernizing our procurement system. The extraction at Thembisa was only able to happen because the entire value chain in terms of the people actually running the procurement system had been bought. We know that because of the amount of kickbacks traced back to Gauteng health officials. And bear in mind, we are in 2025 and we still operate on a paper-based procurement system. You know, those loopholes have been kept in place intentionally because they allow for the extraction to take place. If we had a modernized online portal for procurement, there would be further checks and guardrails in place. But in this instance, they're not. And we know why, because, you know, in nearly all of the orders which were channeled towards these syndicates, fake documents were used, documents which had been tampered with, BEE certificates which had expired, tax clearance certificates which had expired. And that was all overlooked because it was a human being doing the overlooking. If we had a robust system to replace the human beings, we would not have had this issue, or they would have had to go to far more extreme lengths to get what they did right. So that's one issue. And then obviously the second issue is we need to understand that the protection of whistleblowers is important. Babita Deokrand sacrificed her life to report wrongdoing because this, in essence, what it was 2 billion rand being removed from the benefit of the patients at Thembisa Hospital and being channeled to a very select few individuals who became extremely wealthy from that facility.
Jeff, thank you so much for your contribution this afternoon. Jeff Wicks is an investigative journalist with Media 24 as well as an author.